What's up, everybody? I go by the name of Doggy Diamonds. You are now listening to No Filter Podcast. No filter means honesty. If you're afraid of honesty, then this ain't the podcast for you. We gonna be honest today. Yeah. What's up, everybody? It's your boy, Doggy Diamonds. Another episode of Doggy Diamonds No Filter Podcast. Y'all seen the footage that just went out there today? Somebody sent me that footage, and I had to get confirmation. And the only way that I could get confirmation, besides talking to Jay Electronica himself, was get the other man that was mentioned in the footage. One of the guys that was mentioned in the footage. So right now on the line, I got my big homie, my big bro, Ray Dog, a.k.a.
Right.
Ray
on,
Dog.
You know we go back, man, if you know Ray Dog. That's right, bro.
This has been Zeno.
Hey, Dog, congratulations on everything, too, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're doing an amazing job.
But I want people, first of all, I don't like the way you be depicted out there to the world. So I definitely got to say something about that really quick, because the guy that I knew for over 20-something, I don't even know how long we knew.
Yeah.
And you remember me being a little dude out there with y'all. You know what I'm saying? And when you used to come to Brooklyn and you had your photo shoots and you needed, let's say, props, I would bring you props to the photo shoot.
Hey, Dog, and really, you don't still look the same. You got bigger, but it's like you ain't aged a bit, man.
Yeah. So this is my bro right here. We go way back, and this man has done a lot for people in his music industry, and I see a lot of people not really defending him and stepping up for his character. And this guy's helped a lot of people. Took me out on the road when I wasn't even supposed to be outside, and they took me out there. They took me out there on the road with them. The first Source tour, the first and only Source tour.
1991.
Yeah, and like I said, I wasn't even supposed to be. I was too young to be in the spots we was in, definitely. You know what I'm saying?
But you will carry yourself like, you know, you always carried yourself like older. You know, so like you just blended right in. You know what I mean? You was wild, but you know, you still was, you know what I mean? Like you still had a head on your shoulders. So,
yeah.
You know. You know what I mean? It made it all good.
Let me ask you something. The story with the tour bus. How did y'all get that tour bus again? Was the story that I got correct?
Well, because of the Marky Mark thing.
So they're Marky Mark, but AKA Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, Mark Wahlberg. So back then, we was wearing Boston Bruins shit like that. Like Boston, I think, in 83, after Ice-T's movie Colors came out, that's when Boston really started kind of like getting ganged out, you know? And so, you know, each block, each project started wearing their own sports teams and shit. So ours was the Bruins. Mm-hmm. Ours, so Castlegate, Four Corners, it was our shit. So, you know, we had been wearing that shit proud. I mean, and everybody knew it in Boston. So a couple of niggas got buried in it. I mean, like, it was our shit. So, excuse me. Marky was gonna wear it at on the Arsenio Hall show, and we had got word.
Uh-huh.
So I immediately called I think it was Donnie. I talked to Donnie and I said, his brother, I said, Donnie, look, he can't do that. I said, you already know, like, that's not cool. You know what I'm saying? Like, no matter what, you know, we had guys buried in that, so you know, we can't do it like that. Donnie, there's a lot of other stuff he can wear. Red Sox, all kind of shit. So he's like, okay, I'm going to talk to him. Kind of find out, we get word that he's going to, you know, do it anyway.
Mm.
So, yeah, so we found out where they practice at, down by Fenway Park, 9 Lansdowne. And, you know, from there, you know what I'm saying, you know, we was going up, you know, in the stairs and shit, man. We got into a couple, you know, a couple of his band members, I think, and then he ended up, I guess, getting up out of there. And out of that situation really became a great situation, because I got to meet his manager, Dick Scott.
Uh-huh.
And Dick Scott was like, you know, he's one of them old school guys. Like he dealt with Mike Jackson. I mean, older black guy, probably in the 70s, from New Jersey, I think. So, you know, he's the one that got Mark on the Calvin Klein ad. It really blew him up, took him to that next movie level, just from the Funky Bunch.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got to understand, shit, I've known Mark since man, I remember when Mark was smoking cigarettes, you know, robbing, you know, stealing cars, stealing car radios. So
hold on, well, you just I've said you just said Mark Wahlberg used to be in the street getting it in.
Look, so when I in Dorchester, Four Corners was the black, and Downfield's corner was kind of like the white. So Marky was out. So you know, the new kids was out doing their thing, and Mark was kind of like left out the like the new kids. But so Mark was out there. You know what I'm saying? He was trying to, you know, like, you know, car thief. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's not
he
was doing no real. Yeah, but he was definitely out there in the streets. You know what I'm saying? Like. You know what I'm saying? For a white Irish kid, Irish Jewish kid, he was out there, you know, like and like in his hood. You
got
know,
you.
Like I could vouch for that. I
got
mean,
you.
More than Donnie was, you know what I'm saying? So to be honest, I think he might have, because look, I had a Subaru years ago in a GNL Auto, and I think it was Marky who I'm still my radio. Like,
wow.
I never could, you know, yeah, like, because where you fix the cars, it was all down Fields Corner, and that's all like kind of like towards the white area. So, you know, I was getting my car fixed and the radio got stolen.
Wow.
And that's where Marky hang, and he was known for that shit. So long story short, I ended up meeting Dick Scott. Dick was like, look, man, you know, you got to leave Mark alone. I was like, look, you know, it's over. He didn't wear it. He ended up wearing Chicago White Sox on Arsenio. It's all good. And you know, but I got to get into a relationship with him. And, you know, he gave us the tour bus,
mm-hmm.
told us to come, you know, the tour bus picked us up in Boston, rose to Inglewood, New Jersey. He stayed up. Around the corner from Whitney Houston and Bobby, and went to his crib, had like 11 bedrooms, and we was deep as fuck. Everybody got, you know, grabbed the bedroom. We stayed the night there, and then we was off. You know what I'm saying? From there, going to New York and start the Source Tour. But he's the one that paid for the bus and everything. Had like a penthouse suite on 55th Street, stayed there for a few months. But it more or less like wasn't a thing where, okay, here, do this and leave Marky alone, because that was just an individual situation. I mean, we just started, like, you know, like he kind of started liking our flow and was trying to teach me a lot about management, certain ways, carry yourself on tour and just different things about the industry. Because he was an older black man. And back then, black men had real pull in the industry. You know what I'm saying? Like in the 70s.
Facts. And, yeah.
So he was like one of them old school, you know, cool guys, like, you know, Isaac Hayes music. Around them and shit like that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So we you know, to let the people know, we did the tour. What was it? 13 cities or 30? What was it? I forgot.
It had to be about 13, 15 cities.
Yeah.
I think. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Yeah.
It was us. Shantae.
Yes.
Y'all.
Yes.
The A-Team.
Listen, now look, this is not to cut you off, but I don't know if you know, after that tour, this is when OC became a member of DITC from that tour. You know that, right?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he met Buck Wild and Finesse on the tour. Remember, he was with Organized Confusion.
Know that.
Yeah.
Hell no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was
crazy.
He was with Organized Confusion. Remember, he came with Organized, Poe and Mark.
I remember that, of course. You see, because I was recording at 1212, and that's how I met them.
Yeah,
you know, out there in Queens, in Jamaica.
Yeah. So after the tour, they linked up, and he became a member of DITC.
I didn't know that, but you know, Red Hot Love and Tone was on that tour.
Facts. That's who. Remember, we was part of. We was down with Trackmasters, the Little Bastards.
Right.
Remember, that's
then,
who.
Right. The LBs. And
yeah.
And then look. Tone ended up. What happened? Tone ended up going to a Trackmaster. Yeah, Trackmaster.
Yep, that's right.
Search, MC Search,
yeah.
Big Marky.
Do you remember that incident with y'all and MC Search?
Of course. Man. He was disrespectful. He's lucky because he was like Dolo.
Yeah.
And we was deep, like, you know what I'm saying? Like when we rushed the stage, it was like, you know, it was going to be do or die, like for this, you know what I mean? Like, come on, man. Like, that nigga said something like, yo, one the Naruto niggas are dope. It was in Virginia.
Yeah.
He was like, Naruto niggas are dope, but don't one of them niggas look like Humpty Hump.
Yeah, the nigga that don't do nothing or some shit. Yeah.
It was talking about E. Man, we ran so fast up on that motherfucking stage and surrounded him. That nigga apologized so quick. And we said, all right, man. He left the tour after that.
Do you remember Biz Markie on the turntable was like, yo, he was only playing. And you yell, yo, Biz, shut the fuck up.
This
is what I want the people to know. And not even, you know, this ain't nothing to glorify, but have I always known you? You was a certified goon. like people get this persona of you. Like, you know, you was a nice, sweet guy on Love and Hip Hop, but I always known you for being a fucking goon. You know what I'm
but
saying?
You know what it is? You know what it is, doggy? It's like nowadays, because with this, how I look at it, it's almost like it was two different lives.
Yeah.
Like with this internet shit is a whole different universe, like almost. So the shit that was going on back then ain't nothing like now.
Facts.
Like, it's changed so much that it really seems like a different, whole different universe, whole different life.
Yeah.
a whole different Zeno. You know, I was dog, I'm Zeno now. So, you know, it's just like, yeah, like I say to myself, I'm like I couldn't be like the way I was then now.
Yeah, you'd have been in jail already.
You know what I'm
you'd have been
yeah,
in
of course,
jail.
Of course, yeah. Fast, quick. You know what I'm saying? In jail or dead.
Yeah.
So it's like, and even more so deeper than that. I mean, the way you hustle, the way you get money, the way how to me back then it was more love. So it's just everything changed, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is a whole different universe. I'm really just adapting to what's going on now, because me personally, I liked it better back then. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? Like, I actually liked it better back then. I'm just adapting. I'm just adapting to all this. You know, like, I can adapt good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not with it. I'm not, you know, a lot of this shit now is just so different, man. It's so fake and it's just, it's crazy.
Yeah. I remember like when it was disrespect towards RSO or Ray Dogg back then, somebody was getting fucked up. Like, that shit was so fast. Like, I remember that. You know what I'm saying? Like, y'all was
that's
like
all
the
we did though. That's all we did was beef and sell drugs and do hip hop in Boston.
Yeah.
Like, that's all niggas did. And you gotta understand, see, when Boston had gangs, I mean, we was averaging 120 murders a year. And this is probably only in, like, let's say 80% of them are in the hood. The hood's about 10 miles radius. So that's like 100 niggas, you know what I'm saying, dying within 10 miles. So, you know, we never made the census because Boston is so big.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's so many people, it's like they don't clump them in. But at the end of the day, man, like if you had beef with somebody, then you exactly knew where they was. So niggas, like, that's why there was a lot of murders, because everybody knows every like each project might be a mile or two away from each other.
So,
you know what I'm saying?
When you made your transition from, you know, the almighty RSO to Benzino, the solo artist, was that tough for you?
Yeah, I was scared. I ain't gonna front. I was nervous. Like, because the last meeting I had with Ian Jesus, I was damn near begging him, like, bro, you know, I can get us one more deal. We're supposed to do Black Friday. I was like, I can get us a distribution deal. We can get about $150 out of it. And I think the niggas had already made their minds to, like, do their own shit without me.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, at that time, a lot of shit was going on. The Paul Pierce thing, you know, I mean, this was all kind of shit was happening. You know what I'm saying? The shit that happened with the Locks, you know what I mean? It was like, okay, you know, we on tour and everything's going good, and then all this negative shit. So I think niggas got tired of the negative shit. And since I was always the kind of, you know, the you know, looked upon as the head of shit, well, it's like, I don't know if niggas was blaming me or if niggas was like, just thinking like, look, okay, you know, I think us two will be a dope comment. I don't know. But I was hurt, and I really didn't want that to happen because, you know, those are my brothers, and we went through a lot, you know, from RSO to Made Men. So, but once it happened, you know, I've never seen me, like, I'm just that motherfucker who's just not going to, like, lay down and stop. Like, I'm going to always, because you got to understand, dog, look, my hip-hop started in 1976 in the basement of my grandfather in South Bronx on Cedar Avenue. And, you know, right next to Cedric. And I was cutting on two turntables, Gemini tables, in the basement. He had a garage that was full of equipment that made record needles. And that's how he made his money, my grandfather.
Wow.
That's my father's father. So right over there by the Deegan. And right over there, you know, I remember when Jimmy's wasn't even Jimmy's. It was a car lot. You know what I'm saying? Before it was Jimmy's back then. So I used to go every summer and get shipped to New York, still my grandfather's. My grandfather had a son when he was older named Eddie, who was like 2 years older than me. And he's the one that taught me how to mix on two turntables. The first records I cut were Gloria Gaynor's To Be Real. Then it was Apache, the original Apache, and this other shit called Sex. You know what I'm saying? by the same niggas who did Apache. Mm. So I learned how to cut, and then I seen Wild Style '79, then that was it. Then I was a DJ. I was hustling, selling drugs, and I was giving block parties. I was doing house parties. Like, I was banging. Like RSO was like the top group. Like, I mean, it was life back then. Like, it was the shit. It was real hip hop. Anytime, you know, we had to go to New York and do our thing, grab our work. We would get on a shuttle. That was only like $40, $39, $40. The shuttle, you didn't even get searched, you know, at all. So, you know, we going up there, grabbing a bunch of shit, coming back, you know, grabbing our mixtapes. So, you know, I come from the Cold Crush era. Oh, I used to Fresh Fly, Wild and Bold, Cold Crush Brothers. I mean, like, my knowledge of hip hop is vast.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, word. Like, I've had all the albums, EPs, all that shit, bro.
So you go from that, you do your solo shit, and then you had this this breakout record, Booty, with Teddy Riley.
Well, I think my first breakout was Bang to This with you know, because Flex, that's the one that was like my first joint I came out with, and then I got the deal on Motown, and we had put Bang to This out, and it had like, you know, we had produced it. See, a lot of people don't know that I'm also a producer. You know, I learned how to produce by the great Paul C.
Wow.
Paul C's from Queens, New York.
Oh, no. Paul
C was a little white.
Paul C taught Large Professor. He taught Large Professor. He taught a lot of people. Yeah.
Exactly. He was responsible for a lot of beats that niggas didn't give him credit for.
Wow.
He was doing beats for KRS. At the time I met him, KRS organized Confusion, Biz.
Didn't he do Super Lover C in them too?
Eric B. Rakim, Super Lover C.
Casanova, like, yeah.
Large Professor. So look, I was a master, not a master, but I was good on the SP-1200.
Yes.
So he was a master. So he taught me how to splice, you know, and keep the air after you splice. Like, usually a nigga would splice the snare like pat, and they would cut it tight. He's the first motherfucker. This was like in 86, 87. He was the first dude to show me, and we was in Studio 1212 in Jamaica, to extend the truncation of the snare and keep that air on the back end of it going all the way to the hi-hat or the kick.
Wow.
So now, so it's like you're hearing the snare, but it goes to the hi-hat.
Mm.
So it sounded more like the drummer's playing, because it wasn't like, it's almost so, when you listen to like Said G's Give the Drummer Some, like Ultra Magnetics, listen to that motherfucking beat, man.
Yeah.
That's one of the dopest motherfucking made beats. That's all Paul C, really.
Mm.
And then he was giving me drum sounds. He gave me snare sounds. So this is an ill story. Now check this out.
Mm-hmm.
So on my birthday, we go to the studio. We have been recording there. And, you know, Paul, it was my, Paul, you know, would always meet us there. Well, he didn't show up. So the owner, Mick, is going crazy. So, man, so we staying at the Kennedy Inn. You know, we about 7-8 deep. We in a van and shit. So, and I think we had a rental. So, so we go back over there. And we see Mad Tape. Now, the night before, we was going to Jack the Rapper. And we was dropping him off. And you know, I stayed like 2 weeks up there, you know, like recording up there and fucking with Paul. So, like, we got kind of close. So, Paul lived in the basement of his mother's crib in Queens, of his parents' crib and shit. So, in the basement, it's like a little, it's a bed or whatever. But then he got all these discs and everything of all the motherfucking shit. You know what I'm saying? I had got a Rufus Thomas album from Funky Penguin.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yo, you want to come with us because the niggas was out front in the car, and I went in there to get the record. You want to come with us to Jack the Rap? He said, nah, I'm going to chill. So I noticed this big ass motherfucking thing of liquor up there. He was like, and I noticed somebody had been sleeping. Like, there was like a, you know, like a comfort on the floor or whatever. He's like, oh yeah, man, Soup was over here. You know what I'm saying? That's his shit, whatever. Soup will oversee. So next thing you know, it was crazy because, you know, like, you know, the next day when we seen Tape, you already know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? When you see Yellow Tape in the hood, you already know what it is.
Mm.
So I'm like, hold up. Man, somebody shot Paul in the head and in the neck.
Wow.
So look, So like, they snatched me up. Like, I was the last nigga to see this nigga. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, before it happened. So they snatched me up. I'm telling niggas, you know what I'm saying, get on the highway because we up there with the ratchets and shit. Get back to the beam. So, boom. So they snatched me up and they snatched Jeff and them up. And they took them up to the precinct. And they kept questioning us, you know, asking us different questions. Everybody separate. And they ended up letting me go. But I made the newspaper and everything. But I went to his wake. And that's how I met the Lodge professor.
Wow.
You know, I met the Lodge professor at his wake. But, yeah, man. So, you know, I pretty much, you know, like that, the beat bang to this. That was a beat that me, Two Times, and JB made, the Hangman 3. And we had real, like, violin players come in, and we had an opera singer come in, and it had that Mobb Deep feel, and I kind of like that flow was like, you know, it was almost like that Queensbridge flow, because definitely, you know, like, shout, like, I was influenced by P&L.
Yeah.
You know, we had, you know what I mean? Like, but, you know, so the shit killed it. Like, that was like my first shit that Flex ever dropped bombs on. You know what I'm saying?
As a soloist,
like,
right?
Stupid bombs. And I was back then it wasn't all like political and shit. Like that was kind of like still, you know, I think when Eminem and 50 and them came, I think that's when radio started like getting on that. I'm going to play one motherfucking shit all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I think that's when that happened because it was never like that. And I remember, you know, it was definitely wasn't like that when Red Alert had it. But, you know, in Flex's early years, that's when he was really, to me, a monster. It was only until politics really started hitting radio to where it's like they just would play just these motherfuckers shit and nobody else. And Interscope was getting most of the play. So, but yeah, that was my breakout song. And then Booty came out, you know what I'm saying? I ended up working with Teddy. I got to spend like a week with Michael Jackson at a studio and shit. That was dope, you know what I'm saying? Fucking with Mike. So, yeah, that was dope.
What was Michael Jackson's real voice like? I heard he really had a real deep voice like us.
A real hot? Nah. I don't know. He's hot.
Oh, wow.
How you doing? Like yo, you know, like this.
Oh, wow.
He talk real soft, though. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, how I could do this? He might, you know, that might not be. He just might be like, yo, you know what I'm saying? But
did he curse? Did Michael Jackson curse?
I didn't hear him curse, he was a lot taller than I expected.
Oh, word? Yeah.
Tall dude, big hands. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? And, you know, like, come on, man. I was, honestly, like, I don't get shell shocked. I don't get all. But, man, I was like, shit.
Hey, you got to be for Michael Jackson.
Man, listen. He took us to the Dave and Buster's, shut the whole Dave and Buster's down. And me and him was playing this flight simulation game, man. I was like, and see, I ain't take no pictures of nothing. You know what I'm saying? That's what's so crazy. Like, back then, it don't be no pictures, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I've done so much shit that's not documented. And I got so many fucking stories, you know what I'm saying? So I don't even say nothing, you know what I'm saying? I've been dying to get an interview from you because I knew you would know, like, the shit.
Certain shit,
come on, dog, man. Yeah. A lot of these motherfuckers don't know what the fuck to say.
Yeah, and, you know now, when you, so this whole time, you're doing the Sauce thing, and, was that shit, looking back in retrospect, If Menzino did anything wrong with the Sauce, what did you do wrong, if anything?
All right, this is how I look at it, dog. Great question, bro. My thing's this. Hip-hop was born from the streets. Right?
Mm-hmm. Now,
that don't mean if you ain't from the streets or doing street activity that you can't be involved with hip-hop. But, hip-hop was born from those type of guys.
Mm-hmm.
Period. Just like the internet. The internet is made from college nerdy type guys. Mm-hmm. That's their world. Hip hop from the streets of New York, from the South Bronx, from some of the worst conditions ever. So automatically, you know, the street guys are going to be the more ones prone to live the culture at the time. Excuse me, Dre Song.
Mm-hmm.
So the Sauce was about hip-hop, politics, and the combination of me and Dave wasn't, you know, that relationship took place out of just a regular relationship between a white Jewish kid from D.C. and a half-black, half-Cape Verdean and Puerto Rican guy from Boston, Mass.
Mm-hmm.
That was a real, that there was a real friendship. So what was the common denominator? Hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, I was with RSO. You know what I'm saying? He's going to Harvard. He wants to be around the hot hip hop niggas. And Dave want to be around the hot hip hop street niggas.
Mm-hmm.
So So he met us. We kicked it. He had a radio show at Harvard. Two times ended up being a DJ for the show. It was a show. They used to play classical. Dave had a hip-hop show for like 2 hours on the weekends. I'd go up there and fuck around. Dave go out of town. I would host it. Dave made a newsletter called The Source Magazine. Him and Jay Schechter, his roommate.
Mm-hmm.
I used to go and they go to Harvard, chill out, because Jay had good weed. I used to steal all Jay's weed from his drawers.
This is Shecky Green,
every
right?
Every time I would go up there, Jay would make sure he wouldn't be there. See, Dave was the cool one.
Uh-huh.
The rest of the guys was like those college guys who just don't want to be around real niggas.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Jay was never around. And but they discovered that shit as a one-piece newsletter in 1988. Okay? Like, I didn't see no motherfucking money for the Source. Like, I wasn't part of the Source. It was only until I was Dave's man. Now, me and Dave's cool. I brought Dave to the hood. Dave was getting advertisement for the magazine. Once it was in magazine form, he started with his college buddies. I still didn't give a fuck. It was brand new. Dave's my man. I'm supporting because it's Dave. I wasn't too much into it. At this point, I'm out there hustling 100 going north.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, and I'm heavy in the streets in hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the whole Boston knows Zeno, Ray Dog. So shit, like, I wasn't, you know, shit, I was a hood superstar, so I wasn't worried about nothing else. But Dave would bring the A&Rs, like, from Tommy Boy and shit to come see us open up for these, because we would open up for every major fucking group, every name a group, EPMD, fucking LL, Eric B. Rakim, Public, name a group we have opened up for them back then.
Yeah.
Trust me, you know what I'm saying? Like, we was those niggas. So we cool, you know what I'm saying? So we ended up getting signed to Tommy Boy, and I was Dave's man. Then when they moved to New York, we would come, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, we street wild niggas, cause niggas up there. You know, we taking this shit off their dresses, like little T-shirts, doing little corny shit, you know what I'm saying? But it wasn't nothing bad. So they mad because Dave's boys are coming up, and you know what I'm saying, trying to, like, you know, wild up the office and shit. But it still was a fun relationship with them. So we would go to New York, fuck with Dave for a minute, go up to Source. It wasn't only until he put us in the magazine.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? By then, we done had three deals. Eazy-E had signed us, but died. Like, I talked to Eazy 3 days before he died. Like, we had to know a day before he died, but I talked to him like 4 or 5 times while he was at Cedar Sinai. I met with him twice. He was about to sign us because, you know, it was a mob lawyer in Boston, and that hooked us up. And one of my father's mob lawyers knew Jerry Heller. We got the meeting with Eazy in New York. He met with us. He had the Samoan twins with him and a nigga Mike Klein from the Jewish Defense League. The nigga Mike Klein had a little Tommy gun in New York City.
Mm.
We met twice. We went to the Source office, the other time at the St. Regis Hotel. He said, look, he said, my wife's signing Bone Thugs and I'm signing y'all.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody knew it. Bone knew it, everybody. So boom, we had Tom Wally, who's the lawyer of Tupac's estate right now, as the lawyer doing the contract. So he was giving us $150,000. It was our first album deal. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, mind you, because we, you know, we got dropped off of fucking Tommy Boy because of the police and all that shit had happened with the One in the Chamber song. So, you know, this was our first fucking album deal.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to that, Steve Stout signed us to an EP on RCA, but that didn't work because we up there, we're at our press day. Two of the Source motherfucking guys come in and bring me a summons or some shit, man. So, man, we ended up beating the shit out of them, crashing up the whole RCA office, and we got dropped.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Got dropped from the label. Then the whole staff basically wants to signed over and said, Dave has to leave the Source. Step down from his position, give them the Source, and get the fuck out because he's fucking with me. And he put a story about me and RSO in the and that goes against journalistic integrity. So they got 60 people to sign it at the magazine, and then they put out a newsletter that went across all the DJs in all the world. That's how we kind of got blacklisted. And basically it was, you know, so Dave fired everybody. He paid off whatever partners he had with Jay Schechter and them, and then after that he owned it 100%.
Mm.
And, you know, like, I stood by him that whole time.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So make sure that he was physically going to be all right. You know what I mean? And that's when the nigga was like, yo, come on in me as my partner. And I was like, let's go. And then ever since then, we was rocking. But even after we did that, right, 95, 90, I still wasn't getting money from the source.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I was hustling. So it probably wasn't until like 99 where I probably started getting a check. But from 99 to say 204, and I probably ran through about 15, 20 million. Like, it was like the Wolf of Wall Street. It was like, it was crazy, my nigga. Like, there wasn't, like, it was out of control, man. I ain't gonna lie. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah,
so,
man.
So where did so if anywhere that you did fuck up, could you pinpoint it or you didn't at all? Like, what, because you know, it's
I don't think, okay, yeah, money management.
Okay.
But money management. But I'm saying, as far as the source, the whole Eminem beef and everything else, this was all about politics. This was about trying to save hip hop for the culture and that created it. And I felt that at the time, you know what I'm saying, that these people are trying to get an artist who's going to, you know, automatically take all the white people away from buying black music. And really, it kind of worked, you know, because at the end of the day, Eminem can still come out, you know, and rap about and fight on a record. He's going to sell platinum and millions of streams and everything. So you know, what they did actually worked. You know, they wanted to create a whole persona that a white guy is the greatest selling of all. So if he's the greatest selling, that must make him the best.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that can't be the case. And it bothered me. You know, I came from Boston, you know what I'm saying? You know, I came from, you know, the racism up there. So it's like, yo, okay, he could rap, he's cool, but let's not go crazy and say, well, he could rap, look, because he's white. No, that has nothing to do with it. That should have nothing to do with it.
So,
you know what I'm saying?
So when you get a hold of the Foolish Pride record, didn't you think that was it? That's a nail in the coffin for this dude?
I think, yeah, I did. Yeah.
And you had and you had black artists that you knew telling you was bugging and you need to chill, right?
Well, I never really understood. I've never seen nothing like this where people were actually scared to say anything wrong about him.
Mm.
I felt like when Malcolm X was saying stuff wrong about the Kennedys.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, almost like don't, because, and it made sense. There was a lot of money, you know, there was a lot of money on the line with this kid. Because their thing is, hey, we can go get all these white, there are white people who just like Eminem because he's white, just like there's white people who just like Donald Trump because he's white.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I just felt like, shit, the source is politics. Well, then we need to be talking about this. We need to act on this. If there was any type of issue, it was when I gave Made Men a bunch of mics, I think 4.5 mics. I did that to kind of prove to the staff up there, like, look, fuck all that. I own this, and I can do what I want. Now I can admit, and I have admitted that right there was probably done out of emotions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can say that. At that time, I was frustrated as hell. I just wanted to put my foot down. Prior to that, I had never been involved with any interaction with the people who gave anybody a mic, ever.
Yeah, I was also nominated for a Source Award, and people was upset at that.
Come on, man. You know how that is, dog.
Yeah.
You know how that is. I mean, look, my thing is this. Who's on the cover of an Oprah's magazine every month?
Yeah.
Oprah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like everybody promotes themselves now. Look at, I mean, all women, that's the whole thing with Instagram, self-promotion. I just was the first to do it.
Yeah.
So don't get mad at me. You know what I'm saying? Because, yeah, we had 160 pages. If I had 4 fucking pages out of 160, what's the problem?
Yeah.
Street niggas didn't give a fuck about that, but college niggas and journalists and, see, they're the ones that give out the information. So that's why I've always had a hard time in this industry, because there's always somebody lurking from back then in that time, you know what I'm saying, working at, you know, MTV or working at BET or working at Hot Night, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They, all those people at the source back then all kind of graduated to do some type of shit in hip hop.
I want to ask you about the Source Awards, mm-hmm. Almighty Source Awards. Let's put that in its proper perspective.
Right.
The Almighty Source Awards has never been an award show like that ever before, or even, I think only show that ever topped that was Motown 25 when Michael Jackson did the moonwalk. But
right, that was dope.
That Death Row set, we never seen nothing like that ever at an award show, ever. The Death Row set.
I mean, think about it, though. It's like the only how that that award show could have got pulled off, because understand, this, like, the Source was the most, it was the essence, the Source Awards was the essence of the streets.
The hip-hop Bible.
Like that, the essence of, like, gave everybody, like, really, really, like, gave you what was real out there. And that's not easy to do. A lot of people could never do that shit. You know what I'm saying? Scared as hell. The reason why that got put off a lot, I'm not trying to, you know, pull my own dick, but at the end of the day, like, you had to have a real nigga involved with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And now that just, it wasn't me, because it was an amazing team. It was pulled off by a lot of people. But, you know, between me and Dave, you know what I'm saying? Because Dave had his strengths and I had mine. That was the reason why. Dave was the organizer.
Mm-hmm.
I was the streets. I was the essence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when BET, when I remember when we did it at BET, see, let me give you a little secret. We didn't profit from the Source Awards until the very last one we did at BET.
Mm.
We always lost money putting on that show.
Yeah, and
it was an expensive show to put on back then.
But Zeno,
now it's different.
But hold up, Zeno, but you know, do you realize y'all had Mobb Deep and Lil' Kim doing Quiet Storm? The Death Row set, you have Nate Dogg. Some of these dudes are either deceased or in jail.
Shit, Pac and Biggie.
This is what I'm saying. That shit all happened at the Snoop talking about, y'all don't, listen, Snoop said, y'all don't love me.
That's right.
Holy shit. What was the tension like in that room?
I definitely thought it was jumping off.
Okay.
Me personally. You know, I was in the audience, and I was especially, but in a way, Snoop diffused the whole thing.
Okay.
And he jumped up there and said, y'all ain't got love for us. He's basically saying, I got love for y'all. He said it.
Yeah.
I know where I'm at. You know what I'm saying? Shout to New York. Like, I know, you know what I mean? Like, and Snoop loved hip hop. So Snoop know where the essence of hip hop come from. Like, come on, man. Shit, Snoop's a legend. Snoop was listening to Sugar Hill Gang back then.
Facts.
You know what I mean? Everybody was. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody knows where that New York is the mecca for hip hop. But that doesn't mean that everybody else couldn't do it and represent. Because of the East West thing, that really had a lot to do with Pac. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, on the most part, shit, I love West Coast music.
Hell yeah.
I listen to West Coast music just as much. See, in Boston, we only had college radio.
Mm.
So niggas could play shit from everywhere. And man, I listen to West Coast shit, NWA, Snoop, Dr. Dre, Ghetto Boys. I mean, I was all, trust me, like turned out.
So how much of an imposing figure was Suge in that room though? Cause on the TV, it looked like this dude was like the biggest motherfucker physically.
But look, now see that? Look, this is what I'm saying. Them niggas was deep as fuck in there.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? They was deep as fuck in there. But they still in New York.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, whatever, like, if something was going to happen, it would have been a bloodbath.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, it would have just been crazy. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, thank God nothing happened. You know what I mean? You know, that was God that did that. It had to. I mean, the energies was, even though it was tense, it wasn't tense enough for people to fuck it up and get hurt. Everybody did their sets. Everybody stood down because nobody bitched up.
Yeah.
You know, nobody was like, you know, had 100 police around them or nothing. You know what I mean? So, you know, that'll go down in history.
Yes.
Years and years and years, and we long gone as one of the turning points and one of the, you know, illest moments, you know, as far as hip hop goes, because it could have went bad. Could have went really bad.
Did you realize?
If it would have went bad there, dog.
Yeah, it would have been over.
Then that East West Coast shit would have been out of control then.
Yeah. Did you realize how much beef was in that room? Because wasn't actually Wu-Tang and Big beefing at the same time?
I heard about that too. Yeah. But that still wasn't as, you know, as the whole East West Coast thing.
Yeah.
Because, and then when Suge said what he said, Yeah. It was like, oh, shit. You know what I mean? Because remember, once he starts saying that and everything, it's like, oh, now what's Puff going to say?
Yeah, that
was, you know, everybody's waiting, like, because it's now becoming that now. So everyone, so of course it's getting tense because it's like, yo, it's getting ready to go down.
Yeah.
So I'm sure right then and there, niggas was probably grabbing their straps.
Yeah.
You know, everybody, you know, yeah, because shit. I mean, he said it all.
Yeah.
But again, everybody came. The whole Junior Mafia and them ripped it. Total. I mean, that whole Bad Boy set was dope.
Facts.
Craig Mack came out and killed that
Rest
shit.
In like, peace. Yes.
You
yes.
know what I'm saying? Yeah, man. Like, come on. Like, they had everybody. They had everybody. 112, everybody. I mean, everybody who was there, Kim, everybody. Like, the whole Bad Boy was there. So, you know, man, like, shit, man. I mean, we gave everybody a platform from the street to bring that. I remember when Dipset came out, and we had to make Harlem over there on stage for the whole, you know, like 140. So, you know, yeah.
Well, how many people did y'all birth in this industry? Because I know Miss Info is from y'all. A lot of people's from this source.
I mean, you know what? It's a whole bunch. But, man, like, you know, a lot.
Mm-hmm.
A lot, man. A lot. I mean, honestly, like, there's a lot of shit that, you know what I mean? There's a lot of names, you know, but Rob Marksman, Chimo Doo, Elliot Wilson, you know what I'm saying, came from us. Brett Walker. I mean, Steve damn near was a Source Magazine member. He was writing, you know, doing a lot of shit with Dave at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Stout, by the way. Oh, man, we can go on and on. I mean, Misa was the fashion editor. Misa Hilton there for a minute. Who else was the... There was a couple of the writers that went...
You had Star and Buckwild. Star and Buckwild was
Mike,
there.
Yeah, Star and Buckwild. Yes. Mike Elliott, who ended up writing Love and Basketball.
Mm.
You know, basketball, you know, yeah. Maddie C.
Yes, that's the homie. Yes, sir.
Yeah. You know, so I mean, yep. There's a gang of them, and yep. they're still out there today.
Let me ask you something.
Like, and everybody who kind of came up under them. You know, there's a lot of people that came under them.
So yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's from the source roots. Did you and Elliot Wilson ever get a chance to chop it up later on?
Nah, man, that's a good question, man. That's crazy. I'm not sure. Have I seen Elliot since then? Yeah. I'm not sure, man. Like, I'm not sure.
Because that Double XL, you know, source
beef.
Elliot
was wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, he knew that. Elliot was wrong. Like my nigga, like, he put a crazy looking picture of me and my son in the back of his magazine.
Mm.
Whatever I'm going through with Eminem is me and Eminem. What the fuck is you doing with a picture of me and my son? Like, is you crazy? I didn't see at that time. I didn't even know XXL was so close.
Mm.
It was like, yo, his office is across the street. I said, what? Man, I flew out South Source too. I ran over there.
Yeah.
Stopped in that office when he came out. And man, listen. Yeah. Yeah, I read him the Riot Act.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I used to
the Riot Act.
Yo, you used to be going through your shit, I used to be telling people, I used to be like, yo, man, y'all don't know that dude Benzino, man. He not really the dude to be playing with like that. Like, that shit different.
Nah, man. Nah, man. But I also showed a lot of respect, and I also fuck with a lot of niggas. Like, I just wasn't a nigga running around like with his head in the sky, starting trouble.
Facts.
Like,
mm-hmm.
Usually it was because the motherfuckers acting up or doing some dumb shit. And you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, you know this. You know how this game is, dog, man. There's a lot of weirdos in this game. Man. A
lot of suckers.
For real, yo.
A
lot of sucker shit. What I had to learn in this game is that backstabbing is allowed.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're not supposed to be mad if you get backstabbed. It's business because you might have to use these people again.
Mm-hmm.
See, it took me a long time to learn that.
I think I just learned that shit this year. And I still don't, and I still won't accept it, but it is what it is. I just learned that shit. So, you know, the Double XL, they was able to capitalize because Eminem took their side. Remember, he was dissing them at first.
Exactly. You know, because, you know, but at that time it was Chess.
Yeah.
But you got to remember, Eminem and them sued us.
Mm.
Like, they sued, I mean, we wasn't playing. When them white kids came up with the tape, I was in Puerto Rico, and Dave called me with them in the office. Man, I flew up there fast, and I met him. Shit, we had put him up in a hotel for a few days.
Mm.
And one of the kids is dead. I think two of them might be dead, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not sure. One committed suicide. The other one got killed. I don't know. But they've been trying to sell the tape for over a year. So they wanted 50 bands for the tape. I was like, man, get the fuck out of here. Mm. Pay no fucking 50,000 for that shit. So we ended up getting 15. We gave him 5,000 up front. I think we gave him 10,000 up front. And our thing was we're gonna package it and put it. Now at that point they was denying it. That's not him. Mm-hmm. Like, motherfucker, that's him. Then they like, okay, he wrote it, but he was in a relationship and he was, man, once he started talking that, talking about how old he was, 16. Oh yeah. We went and took the tape back to Maxell and had them do a fucking scanning on the serial number on when the actual tape was made. You know what I'm saying? When it was actually made, actually physically put together.
Mm.
All right. And it all added up to him being 21. So it ain't like people think you hating you. No, I'm not hating, man. Shit, man. We was going back and forth. It's like we battling. Shit, man. They was doing a bunch of shit with me too. You know, we have caught Green Lantern in Puerto Rico, stood him down. You know what I'm saying? You know, that's when I seen Jam Master Jay, God rest his dead. It was at that DJ convention. And, you know, that's the first time really Eminem was performing there or whatever, but he was around mass security. But it wasn't even that deep at that moment. See, I don't even know how, like, look, I said two words about him on a mixtape, and then he came back with a whole mixtape. Mm. And then want to cry, and everybody want to say Benzino's just mad at Eminem. Like, are you kidding me? Like, we battling. Like, don't nobody give a fuck about none of that. I wasn't complaining about that. My point was, when it's all said and done, he's a different type of guy. And what I've learned now, even with his fan base, because his fan base are like young white kids who knew nothing about Eminem. And it's a weird fan base because they just love him because they want to be able to be in the conversation of cool and still hold their culture. So they're going to cheer for Eminem because he's white. And these are kids all over the world. We know that they didn't grow up listening to his music. Or even if they did, it's not like they was listening to him at 5 years old. Six. It's not like he had a real stupid hit record in their age group of listening, because most of them are like 15, 16, 21, 18. Like, and then he has his other white fans, the older ones. But, man, listen, I still get a lot of slander from his fans, young fans. I mean, every day.
Yeah, but don't.
Somebody, one of these little bastards saying something.
Hey, little bastards is cool, but doesn't it fuck your head up that it's a lot of black kids now that's coming at you that you the guy who lost to Eminem? How for your legacy of all you accomplished, all you done? How does it feel to be when people say, "Yo, you the guy that's still mad at Eminem and you lost"?
It's a subculture of people saying that, weirdos. So that don't, like, I don't, I, they don't, I've never lived around them. They don't live my life. They don't. They're a different people. It's almost like they're from a different country. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, we know that there's German rap and Russian rap, right? But we don't listen to it, do we, doggy?
Nah.
So, then imagine talking to one of their fans that listen to German rap. That's what these guys, to me, they're like fans of German rap.
Mm.
Like their whole lifestyle, who they are, how they live their life, their slang, their outlook on life, how they grew up is nothing like me.
Mm-hmm.
So their views of it, I could care less, because that's their guy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, I'm not trying to take your guy from you. You know what I'm saying? You know, so I understand being the enemy, and I understand, you know, wrestling and WWE and all that. Fuck it. Everybody wants a moral enemy than Benzino's the moral enemy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I'm
going to
be getting little motherfuckers in my fucking inbox forever now.
Yeah.
But I get it. See, everybody wants to be in the conversation of cool. And that culture, and when you really look at Eminem, dog, I think the real reason why he's mad, because he really hasn't been accepted in really like our culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. It's not like you can go to a club and hear an Eminem song. You know what I'm saying? And it's never been like that. So I think that kind of pisses him off that he's not really accepted in our hoods. That's what I think is really making him upset. Hold on. Hey, can you hold on 1 second, bro?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hold on 1 second, dog. All right.
Yeah, so we got Benzino on the line. This is my homie from a long time, back before I was, should have been outside and doing shit. I was already off the porch, touring and in clubs and shit like that. And this is one of the guys that I met early on when I first started, and he took me around.
Yeah, okay, yeah. But so, you know, I mean, my thing with the M thing was, again, I wasn't saying he couldn't rap. It's just that I'm going against somebody who's a, who was in a different lane. You know, so we was two different lanes. And I, and my point of making was kind of bigger than him. It was the fact of, you know, Beastie Boys, I didn't look at them like that. Third Base, I didn't look at them like that. You know, anytime a white rapper would get in hip hop, it was a different feeling. We actually felt that they was in with us.
Yeah.
To me, him was, to me, was separating the culture, saying, okay, now white people, you have your own now.
Yeah. Let me bring you up to speed on two things really quick. One, at one point you apologized to Eminem. Why?
Man, you know what? Man, I'm a Cancer. I be in different moods. And at that time, I'm on TV now and things are going good. Man, at that point, I think I was just getting in love and I was feeling good. And it was like, man, I don't want to, you know what I'm saying? I'm on MTV. Look, I know Sway and them want, you know, everybody wants Hayes because people think so bad of me. And like you said in the beginning. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I mean? So it doesn't take nothing out of me to, and I actually apologize to anybody who felt that I was saying that white people couldn't be in hip hop or if they felt that it was some racist type shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I necessarily didn't apologize to M.
Got
you. Then I said something about apologizing for bringing his daughter in it.
Got
you. So those I could stand by because of my kids. You know what I'm saying? So I can understand the feeling of that. But we also know as a battler, and I started battling back then, you know what I'm saying? Everything's on when it comes to battling. And people got to understand that. So, you know, and M does too. Shit, M, man, listen, M hit him below the belt.
Yeah. So you take...
Know, yeah, come on, it ain't...
So do you take like the apology
people,
back?
People act like M is a victim, man. M's not going for it. M's going to scream and he's going to have him analogies and he's going to go hard, yo. You know what I'm saying? He's not going to, he ain't going to face to face nobody, but he's going to go hard as fuck on them rhymes.
Do you take the apology back?
Nah.
Oh, okay.
Nah, because it still goes.
Yeah.
Even him screaming my name in the MGK record, that was dope.
Mm-hmm.
That was dope.
Yeah.
Like y'all's top niggas still screaming Benzino.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other
That's
thing,
dope.
The other thing that I wanted to talk to you about was it's one more thing after this, but the whole culture vulture thing is like, it's a buzzword. It's a fad now. Some of us been talking about that and you left a comment on my page because I actually defended Dame and you was basically saying, what was you saying to me? I want you to explain to the world what you were saying to
this
me.
What I was saying, look, I was saying, if you're going to be for the people,
mm-hmm.
right? And if you're going to be for the betterment of the community, when you make these type of statements, it can't be just for self. It has to be for, you can't, you know, it can't just be okay when you want to do it. It has to be done for everybody. To me, it was obvious that Eminem was the biggest culture vulture, if that's the case, and what they was doing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't see what the difference is of what Jimmy and M was doing other than Lior.
Mm.
See, I don't look at Lior as a culture vulture. I just don't.
Okay.
That's just my opinion. I've done business with Lior. Lior is a white man that does business in hip hop. He's made a lot of people money. You know, both but Dame's white. And Dame's frustrated from people eating off our shit. But there are more people than just Lior. And I mean, if he's going to bring up Lior, he's saying, then there are really people that, I mean, I don't see anyone who can call Lior a culture vulture. I don't think anyone would actually get in on that for Lior. My opinion is that's personal. You know what I'm saying? And Dame has that right to be personal because Dame's done a lot of business with Lior.
Mm-hmm.
So shit, you know, he got that right. Listen, it was Dame's vision that did Rockefeller. Dame was the hustler.
Facts.
Dame's the one that moved that shit around. You can't sit around and be cool and quiet and get them checks. Dame made that happen. So at the end of the day, whatever he got with Lior is a personal thing that I'm sure he knows more of.
Mm-hmm.
The culture vulture thing to me fits in the Jimmy Iovine, Eminem situation more than it would Lior. To me, now some could say, well, Jimmy gave a lot of guys deals and everything, and yes, he did. But a lot of people don't know that, you know, Jimmy made a song called Rock and Roll Nigga back in the 70s.
Word?
You know, produced it in a group. Yeah. Yeah,
wow.
Pull it up. Jimmy Iovine, Rock and Roll Nigga. Why are we on a call right now? put that bitch up.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? You know, so, you know, my thing is, look, you know, we understand that there are white people who work with us who might not like us, and there's nothing the matter with that. We can be cordial to get a bag and the work and everything. Nobody has to, like, totally like you. But, you know, again, if you're going to make money off the culture, you got to be 100. And if now your people's skeletons are coming out the closet, then everybody's a mess too. And that's all I'm saying. And then when it comes to Flex, you know, I was saying how Flex hopped right on Eminem. You know what I'm saying? He, you know, and let Eminem, you know, basically just get, you know, he basically, see, as a DJ, I come from the school where DJs play the music. DJs can't get in politics and battles and sides because that fucks up the music. And to me, that's when New York music started getting fucked up. Because when DJs start taking sides, well, now the music's going to be sides.
Yeah,
and now a lot of artists are going to suffer because they're not on that side. And now this side got more artists. So it's not just like one artist. Okay, now you're playing seven artists who's down with that whole imprint.
Yeah.
So how's the rest of New York going to get played? And that goes on for years and years and years to the point where all these other artists in New York who might not be with the sides, they suffer.
And then we heard
they become old school.
Yeah, and then we
if
heard
you ain't heard a motherfucker in 5 years, you become old
school. Old school, yeah.
When you finally hear them. So it's almost like New York hip hop got suppressed in those years.
Yeah.
Because a lot of niggas shit was not getting played, man.
Yeah. And then I guess around this time, this is the emergence of 50 Cent via Interscope and Eminem.
Yeah, I mean the whole Interscope shit.
Yeah.
Not just 50. I mean Jimmy had 60% of what was going on.
Yeah.
So that means if you was any one of the rest of these artists, your shit wasn't getting played.
Did you and 50 ever get a chance to chop it?
Nah, man. Nah. Shit. I mean, I would love to at this point. I think, man, that everybody's of age where I think there's an age. I think there's an age. And I think the older guys, you know, I think real men know this. I think there's an age where you gotta think forward. You gotta move forward.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's at an age that you gotta move forward. You gotta let whatever it was die and move forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I just believe that. You know what I'm saying? I believe it does nobody good for 50 and Ja to keep going at each other 20 years later. For what? Like for what? You know what I'm saying? To put it in your kids to go at each other to. You know, poison them. I mean, you know, I mean, and believe me, you know, like me and Ja, you know what I'm saying, kicked it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? When I was in New York, you know what I mean? Like shit, me and the whole Murder Inc. So when he was going against 50, I was going against him. Mm-hmm. So it looked like me and Ja's a tag team.
Yeah.
You know, that's how everything's looking. But, you know, it's like I said, shit, I mean, you know, 50 and them, they, I mean, nothing else was popping but them.
Yeah.
See, when 50 came, that was it. That was because he brought a whole new sound in New York.
The music, you know what I'm saying? So and the music was dope though. The music
it really was
dope.
Was the movement? I mean, yeah. Dre. I mean, yeah. He had Dre's beat.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that shit was. You know, it was like that was that different type of shit. Like New York hadn't really had that bop. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then you know with that gangster flow, and I mean he made an impact. He made and at that point, you know what I'm saying? Motherfuckers wanted some hard shit. They wanted a movement. He had put his work in with the mixtapes. You know, I mean, you know the story with me and him.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? That like when the shit happened at the Hit Factory, he ran down to my session, Made Men, and I ended up calling him a car service.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you know, I mean, it's funny because it's almost like I'm 6 degrees separation with a lot of these guys.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Somehow, some way. But I was, you know, again, the Source Magazine, all those awards, and you know, and everything that we did, man. That was a long period, bro. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's a lot of shit that went on, man. Good, bad, and ugly.
Your dealings with, you know, with the story that just broke today with Jay Electronica. Me and you had a previous conversation before about it, but it's really deep. Initially, so, all right, I got this footage where this guy's doing an interview, and he says that Jay Electronica had footage that he recorded of Eminem and D12 making fun of 50, and they were bringing it to the Source, which would be you and Dave at the time. Did you ever see a tape?
Like, when I met Hold on, let me light up something, dog. Okay. I'm gonna finish this right. I'm gonna finish it right.
All
right. When I met Jay, it was through Dave.
Okay.
He just popped up out of nowhere. And this was right in the middle of the whole Eminem beef.
Uh-huh.
And we had the Park Ave office. So Dave wanted me to handle him. And Dave was really loving his flow. Dave was comparing him to Nas. And I was like, okay. I really didn't know him. So I really wasn't, you know, I really wasn't like hyped. So, you know, it was just like, okay, you Dave's man. Yeah, whatever, boom. So we kicking it. And then we came with the idea for the, he told me about the tape.
Mm-hmm.
And we hadn't seen it. Then we went, and then I told him about the idea about the documentary that I want to do. And then he's the one that did it. I actually, like, Jay was kind of fucked up. You know what I'm saying? I gave Jay some money. You know what I'm saying? We put him up in a hotel, bought him some clothes. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, he was looking to sell the tape, but the tape wasn't going to do me no good. So I didn't, you know what I mean? Like, the tape was just some shit, like, it was blurry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you could see niggas' torsos. Like, I guess the camera was down or whatever. So it really wasn't, but you could hear niggas kind of like talking, you know, like really rapping the way 50 rap kind of, you know what I'm saying? But to me, it really wasn't nothing disrespectful. Like, it sounds like niggas were just clowning. Now that's only if 50 clowns with them like that. You know what I'm saying? But it, you know, like, you know, niggas, you know, you start rapping like somebody, you know, that's like some inside shit that niggas laugh about or whatever. I didn't see nothing damning about it. Cause I didn't buy it.
Mm-hmm. But it did exist, though. The tape did exist.
Fucking, oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, okay.
100%. It's funny, because when I seen it, I was like, oh, shit. I was like, that shit, it made me, I was like, I remember that. I had forgot about that.
Yeah, because you never spoke about that before.
You're right.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't, again, it was nothing. You just see niggas' torsos and niggas are clowning around. I think they might have, like, been making fun of somebody else's the way they talk a rap. And fit. Like, it wasn't nothing, like, oh, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But in a previous conversation with you, you also told me that when you met Jay Electronica, one of his main things that he wanted to do was he told you, I want to help you take down Eminem.
I mean, he had his issues with him.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? He had his issues with him. My thing was, I'm like, well, nigga, get on the record. But
yeah.
He didn't want to do that, though. You know what I'm saying?
Shit. Yeah.
Let's go to the studio. You know what I mean? Like, you know, but so I didn't, you know what I mean? But he did want to do the interview thing.
Okay.
But he didn't want to get on the record.
Gotcha.
So, yeah. So I didn't, you know, again, our interaction was just a couple of things. He was a cool ass dude. I listened to his shit. He had hot shit. You know what I'm saying? But he had, but whatever his beef was with Eminem wasn't as serious to me. You know what I'm saying? To really warrant bringing him in it or whatever. Because it ain't like he really wanted. He wanted to kind of expose the tape. But I don't know if he wanted his name on the tape.
Got you.
But then once he did the Arch Nemesis, the motherfuckers are seeing him with Benzino. So what's the fucking difference?
Yeah, because I didn't understand that. Because that kind of went over people's heads. And he said some deep shit when y'all was sitting together in that.
No. He's a very, very intelligent brother.
Mm.
I mean, he's super intelligent. He's Muslim. He's very articulate, very intelligent. You know what I'm saying? And I was impressed by that. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, when I heard him, when he signed with The Rock and everything, I could see why. And then him, you know, fucking with the Rothschild, I'm like, yeah, you know what I mean? I could see all that. I mean, he's definitely a smart guy. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Jay's a good dude. I ain't seen him in a while. I know when Eminem shit pop up or whatever, you know, he, you know, I know he said something at one point, then he came back and apologized, and he goes up and down with it. You know what I'm saying? Same thing with me. You know what I mean? You know how it is. Like,
that nigga's a cancer too, about, right?
He is?
I don't know. I'm
he
just
probably
saying.
Probably is, man. He's just right, so I'm going to find that out.
Yeah. Yeah, because I know when Eminem said something about in the rap that Puffy has something to do with Tupac getting killed, Jay Electronica was like, "Yo, I'm a punish you. I'm gonna make
oh,
you."
Oh yeah, oh he said some real shit. I'm gonna bring Zeus on you. He said
yeah,
some
yeah,
real.
Yeah,
yo,
yeah,
when Jay
yeah.
say some, see Jay don't tweet a lot, but when he do, he say so the wrath of Zeus will fall upon you.
Yeah, yeah, some old wild crazy space shit. I was like, what the fuck? Yeah,
the walls of Zeus.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, some shit like that. Yeah, like he really, because it seemed like he really doesn't like Eminem. You know what I'm saying? And then from sitting with you, and when y'all was in the suits, because it was almost like an interrogation room, right?
Yeah, but that was all my idea. I want to do that whole Menace to Society look. But he, to me, he's like a nigga that he's like, he want to send me out to do the dirty work, and you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Go out to the minefield and he sit back. Like, that's how I came across Jay. And I thought, I was like, man, listen, man, niggas gonna make a song, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm out. Like, I didn't hang around niggas. I wasn't hanging. It was him and Dave going out to eat and everything. We just did the shit, you know, the Arch Nemesis.
Is that DVD available anywhere?
It's on YouTube. Okay. I put it on YouTube. You know, eventually, you know, like when I tell my real story in my book, I'm going to be using that for reference. But a lot of people haven't seen that.
Got you.
See, that right there really takes you from 87 to 03. Now, a lot's happened since 03. We didn't even lose the source until, you know what I'm saying, 05. So, and then my indictment with the feds and the federal investigation, and then me going to fucking down south, me down to Miami, then loving hip-hop. Started Hip Hop Weekly, then Loving Hip Hop. I mean, a lot's happened since, you know what I'm saying? I got shot, you know what I'm saying? Then I do all these other reality shows. Like, so I got a hell of a story. I met a lot of people, bro. You know, it's been a lot of shit. I'm going to tell it all. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to tell it all.
With Loving Hip Hop, was it a confidentiality? Or are you not allowed to speak about certain things behind the scenes with the show?
Man, listen, man, look. What you want to know about Loving?
All right, when the shit first started.
Dog said, all right, let's go.
Yeah. You already know. When it first started, rumor has it, all the cars and the cribs and everything that Stevie J had was your shit.
No, look. The first house, that big house I have, me and Sleeves were staying there.
Okay.
So that was, we had the studio there. That was our joint. We were staying there. You know what I'm saying? Together, because, you know, me and him wasn't getting along. And the jobs, remember, they just found out about each other. So, you know, he's you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm saying, as far as the, from what I know, as far as the other houses, people rent these houses. These houses ain't for free.
Mm-hmm.
So whether they're rented for 3 months, 6 months. Now, my house, I was living there. You know what I'm saying? With the pool and everything, like when I first got to Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, but I mean, you know, people rent. Shit, I was renting that. Like, you know, I didn't own it. You know what I'm saying? Like, people rent houses. And, you know, shit, like, the more money you make, the better your house you're going to rent.
Yes.
So, you know, shit, that not just Stevie, but everybody on Love and Hip Hop. You know what I mean? So a lot of them started out in little apartments or whatever. They get money, they get to move up. That's the whole idea of it. Like, I know people don't think that niggas be fucking super rich and every, that should be a fucking, you know, myth. And niggas got to stop that.
But niggas think that, though.
There's a problem with that.
You know niggas
there's
think that, though.
Everybody happen to think that, or just think that if somebody's fronting. Like, if everybody would stop fronting, then no one would have to fucking think it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, whatever you got is what you got. Like, people got to understand that we wasn't supposed to have shit. And you know what I'm saying? And the odds against all of us street niggas. So, you know what I mean? Like, we're not expected to have anything. So whatever you got, you know what I'm saying, hold on to it, invest it, you know, build it. You know what I'm saying? But don't worry about what the next man got or whatever you don't got. See, people is worried about that too much, how they looking and how they going to look. And Instagram got motherfuckers' heads so fucked up with that is changing society. For the worse.
So, all right. And another thing that fucked my head up, wasn't at one point Bambi supposed to be, or was your love interest on the show?
No, I'm saying me and Bambi, you know what I'm saying, dated on the show. It wasn't nothing crazy. You know what I'm saying? We went out a couple of times. It didn't even get sexual. You know what I'm saying? Like, we did some scenes, and then boom, you know what I mean? Like, it didn't work out. And it's, you know, just like out here. You go out and date with a chick a couple of times, is it going to work? You know what I'm saying? Boom, does anything happen? Yay, nay, and keep it moving.
How the but fuck?
Anything that you see with Benzino was real shit.
That's why they got rid of you?
Because I don't know, to be honest with you, I don't even know how to be fake. Like, I didn't cast for Love and Hip Hop.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They asked me to come on there and to do a scene talking with Stevie. People don't realize, before being Stevie's scenes, everything was all girls. Girls doing scenes with girls.
Yeah.
It's about girls. I had one nigga in a scene with girls. You know what I'm saying? So I really, when I came on, it started kind of showing men in the scenes, you know, doing scenes together.
It was bugged out to me that you was the voice of reason, because I always known you for being the voice of reason, but also being a fucking hothead. And you was telling dudes, yo, nah, you got to chill. You can't be doing this and doing that. I was like, what the fuck happened? He changed a lot.
Dog, even being a hothead, I was still raised right.
Yeah.
Raised with some morals. And I still knew right from wrong. Like, Like, I still was intelligent enough to know right from wrong. And if your ass is on TV, why would you want to show yourself as a savage?
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to be showing the way I am, like, in Four Corners.
Yeah.
On TV. You know, I mean, the reunion was going to get like that. And that's why it was time for me to let that go.
Yeah.
Because, like, I didn't go on TV to be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the fuck I went on TV for. I mean, somebody will get fucked up for real. Somebody's going to jail.
Yeah.
There's 100 cameras around, man.
Yeah,
shit ain't like, I didn't go on TV for this fighting and this all this crazy shit, man. Even in real life, like, I've dated mad celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nobody knows. Like, real celebrities. Like, oh, shit, Dino? But you would never know because I wasn't like that. So when I'm on there, like, I was, you know, like, I wasn't going to be trying to smash all the chicks and shit and, you know, and like being the dude who's on disrespectful and nah, I'm not going through that. I damn sure don't even want no chicks fighting over me. None of that shit like on there. I never had that in real life.
Yo, but that wasn't your first crack at TV. Y'all also had a Source TV show.
We had the Source. We had two of them.
Yeah.
Source All Access, and we had the one with Ray J. We gave Ray J his first shot on TV with the Source Sound Lab on. Came on Saturdays on UPN 33.
Do you read the Source today?
Hell no.
I'm forever mad at the Sources. I've never been in the Power 30, and I don't know too many niggas who've been doing their thing like me for a long time. I ain't never been in that shit. Never even been 29, and I'm mad at that shit. But that's something.
Cause you're too real, dog. What you mean? You need to be happy.
Word.
If you wasn't, it would show that you done crossed over.
So, losing that though, before we close out, losing the Source. When did you realize it was over? Besides, you know, I guess you getting evacuated out of the building and, you know, the banks.
I mean, you know, because Black Enterprise was already like hovering around like vultures.
Okay.
When they took out a loan for like $9 million, for the Source, let me give you the real reason why the Source got fucked up financially.
Okay.
Dave took out $9 million, and it's not blaming Dave because with Steve Stout, Dave, H. Edward Young, they came up with the idea in the 90s, 97, something, 98, to come up with the Source Sound Lab. Source.com.
Mm-hmm.
So this is when, like 95, I think, this is when all the .coms were just starting. And they came up with the idea, like, yo, we could take the magazine to the internet. They had the first, with all this shit you see now, they did first.
Mm-hmm.
The only problem was it was ahead of its time and it crashed early.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody knew about it. And you really can't do two mediums at the same time. You can't do a magazine and a website. You can't, like, you have to have one. One has to pull the other. You can't have the same content.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, took out a $9 million loan at an 18% interest rate. The shit ballooned up to $30
million.
Mm. You know what I mean? So, you know, Bob Johnson offered us $55 million to own a BET, flew us up to Washington. We wanted 80. He offered us 55, and we turned it down. He was at his office. You know, because after we had paid everything, you know, after we paid the $30 million loan and then taxes and broke everybody off and all these other bills, probably would end up with about $3 million apiece. Like that was it, but they want us to leave the Source.
Mm.
What people don't understand is that combination of me and Dave and what we had up there with the staff, you know what I'm saying? Because I was bringing real niggas through there. There was college niggas, and then Zeno's the real nigga. There was a great balance. You need the balance. I tell all kids who go to college now, don't ever lose your streak.
Yeah.
Always stay in tune with your streak. Just don't be 100% college type of nigga. Like, don't do that. You know, like, you'll be amazing if you're both. So, because I learned a lot from Dave, and I learned a lot from being at the Source about advertising and marketing and all that shit. Like, I didn't know I was going to be involved with that, but you know, you just naturally adapt because that's what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? So
mm-hmm.
Shit. I mean, you know, so fuck, you know, Source Magazine, it was a blessing, but you know, all magazines fell after that.
Yeah.
Five after sale, like the internet ended up killing them.
Yeah.
So in retrospect, everybody went through it. The magazines that got lost, you know what I'm saying? And to be honest, they got left with that $30 million nut. You know, we walked away from a $30 million nut, bro. Like, we walked away.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Scot-free. You know, and then niggas understand, like, sort the hip hop behind bars. Like, that was my idea.
Mm.
Like, producing those awards, that was like that. Like, I was executive producing them, like them shits. The Source Sound Lab, my idea. Source Hip Hop Hits, my idea. Mm. You know, like, I was thinking of shit out, like, outside the regular pages. Niggas was writing stories. Because Dave would get all the credit, but shit. I mean, at that point, I just got, man, listen, I'm staying in $3,500 a night suites at the Beverly Hills and wear $1 million chains, like, you know, flying in any woman I want in America. So, you know what I'm saying? I'm good.
Yeah, so right now, Hip Hop Weekly, what happened with that?
Hip Hop Weekly, we started Hip Hop Weekly as another magazine when Source fell.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the magazine really, like, at that point, we wasn't getting enough advertisement.
Mm-hmm.
And printers were, a lot of the printers around the country were going out of business. Again, magazines. You know, and we had a formula to print up Hip Hop Weekly the way we did. So we wrote it out as much as we could, and then Dave started dealing with another guy who wanted to invest in it. And then dude calls himself investing in the magazine, but he only dealt with Dave.
Mm-hmm.
I already knew the magazine was going to go under. There is no magazine.
Mm.
So, you know, please, to any artists out there who think there is a Hip Hop Weekly, there's not a Hip Hop Weekly magazine. Now, the dude that dealt with Dave had Dave's part of the ownership, but I'm still half owner of that brand because mm-hmm. I have papers to prove that.
Okay.
So right now, you know, I'm not, you know, like, I'm just kind of laying back, you know, to see if, you know, if the new owners want to, you know, collaborate or what they, but right now it's just because, see, I'm not the website guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not going to be doing shit for the website and trying to charge these kids crazy amount of money to fucking perform and put their shit up, like, and take advantage of these motherfuckers out here in these streets. Like, I'm not going to do that. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to wait until I can attach the brand to something amazing that's going to make some M's.
Got
you. Some real shit. You know what I'm saying?
Got you.
Like, I've already done all that shit, what they're trying to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, the showcases and all, like they could be done much more for a lot of these showcases. A lot of these people just be taking these artists' money.
Yeah, you ain't lying about that.
Real talk.
Yeah, doing nothing for them. Talking about it's going to be A&Rs and shit there. Ain't going to be no fucking A&Rs there. Cut it out.
I mean, well, no, honestly, like, doing nothing and just taking what they're doing is they're taking advantage of their desperation to get their shit heard.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no vehicles. Like, everybody has all this music, but the only people listen to it are people sitting next to them or on their block.
Yep. Yep. So, you open some restaurant. You open a restaurant, right?
I'll be opening the Crab Trap in January 2019.
Okay.
On the east side. And, yeah, it's going to be dope. It's going to be dope. This will be my, I opened one up in Marietta, and we haven't moved to a bigger spot. But it was a temporary spot in Peachtree, but I'm reopening in the South DeKalb Mall and right on the east side of Atlanta.
Got you. And what else you working on? Let the people know. Give them your social media first and foremost.
Well, I mean, I am Benzino, but I want y'all to know a couple of things. That my son Ray Ray's working with Pierre Bourne over there at Interscope.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? About to do some major things. You know, Ray Ray was signed with Big Pun's son. Remember that? With
yes.
Down back mm-hmm. in the day. Remember mm-hmm. that?
Who was the third? Who's the third kid again?
Lil James.
Okay.
And yeah, he's from Boston. He's from New Bedford. And then my daughter Coy LeRae, just got signed to Universal Republic.
Okay.
You know, I have a 21-year-old daughter. She's really doing her thing. She, you know, she just did Rolling Loud and, like, she's killing them right now. So, you know, of course, also, you know, I started this cooking thing with Zeno, you know, with my 3-year-old. You know, my son Taj is playing 2 sports, football. He's 15 and basketball. So, you know, I'm just trying to be a dad. And, you know, they're kind of, you know, scattered around the country. You know, Ray Ray being Cali and Taj and, you know, Coy's everywhere. Taj is up in, you know, Jersey and, you know, Zeno be back and forth from Cali. So anytime, you know, like, I can get on the phone with him or kick it with him, but I'm proud of all of them. So definitely that, you know, want to keep an eye on all of them. And, yeah, you know, I'm going to be shooting that Growing Up Hip Hop thing real soon.
Okay.
You know, yeah, I'm going on that.
In Atlanta?
I'm with my kids.
In Atlanta?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, yes. And what else, man? Man, oh, I got some music, dog. I ain't going to front, yo. I got some shit that you're going to be like, this is you? You know, since I've been in Atlanta all these years, believe me, you know, I got that bop. So, you know, that trust me.
What about the production, man? That Tommy's theme. Come on, man. What the fuck? That was crazy, man.
And that was just a simple sample.
Yeah, we need some more Tommy's theme, especially in 2019. We need some of that.
That was just a simple sample with a loop and that little whoop, whoop, that little monkey thing. Yeah.
Hell yeah. That shit was crazy.
We didn't even know. Like we knew the beat was dope, but the way the Locks killed that shit,
mm-hmm.
I was like, damn.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you might do a collaboration with niggas. You'd be like, okay, like niggas ripped it, but in your mind, they like, well, shit, I'm just glad to have them on it. But when they did that shit, it was like, oh my God, we got a hit record.
Yeah, big you record. Big record.
We got a hit record here. This shit here is a street banger. Them niggas ripped that shit. And I think, honestly, you know, when I, because I did a couple of songs with Jada. Like, you know, you have to step your whole shit up and take your time when you with them niggas. So, you know what I'm saying? Both times I ended up spitting. I ended up sitting there with him writing my shit and spitting because, you know, shit, I don't kill that Tommy's thing.
Yeah, that's
you know what I'm saying? See, a lot of, you know, dog, like a lot of people, I feel never getting my props because of the Eminem thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, I got a lot of bangers out there. You know what I'm saying?
Nah, you definitely was a part of a lot of success in hip-hop. You know, and that's what I was saying when we started this. I don't like the fact that a lot of great you did is always overshadowed by this Eminem shit. And I think to a certain extent, you might contribute to it. We might contribute to it in media. Because we got to highlight more of your greatness than just that. Because you bigger than this, that Eminem shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just,
right.
That shit,
right.
That shouldn't be your legacy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That shouldn't be your legacy.
But, if it's my legacy to the people in Germany, then I don't mind that.
Yeah.
Remember that.
No disrespect always against Germany, that. But.
Your legacy is only as good as the people who accept it.
Got you. So, ironic, you said your son is on Interscope?
Oh, shit. That's crazy.
Did you just realize what you said? Holy That's shit. Crazy. Yeah, 2000. All right, so, yo, bro, you know, it's always a pleasure to chop it up with you. We don't do this often.
Hell yeah.
But we go way, way back. And, you know, like I said, thank you for all you've done for me over the years. And you never acted funny with me, never acted Hollywood.
You my nigga, yo.
Yeah.
Hollywood, man.
Yeah.
Niggas don't understand. Like, I don't know how to be a celebrity. Like, I don't fit that mold because, you know, you gotta understand all these years, people are really, like, hating on me. So, like, I always was shy to be, like, anytime I wanted to be, I always had to be kind of apprehensive. You know what I'm saying? But wherever I go, any hood, any city, oh, the love is ridiculous from real niggas. Like, wherever I go, and now, the love in hip-hop is the millennials, and it's like, I be getting mobbed,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying, like, by women. You know what I'm saying? You know, wherever I go, in any city. So, you know, life is good, man. I ain't got nothing to complain about, dog.
This dude been in the gym, hard body. They like to fuck with his neck, all types of shit. I'm like, yo, this dude, I'm like, yo, but you really learn how to maintain your composure, though.
Now, you have to. I mean, because, look, again, like, this is how I look at it. It don't exist. Mm-hmm. Like, the internet don't, like, all that shit, you have to. I remember Nori had to talk me out from trying to meet a motherfucker.
Yeah.
Where you gonna be at? Like, he had to talk me out of it. Like, you know what I'm saying? I realized that shit don't exist. Like, you can't attach your emotions to the internet. You just can't do it. Because all you're gonna do is just fuck yourself up. You gotta be emotionless because, you know, you don't know these people. You know what I'm saying? And at the end of the day, in your mind, you feel like you're getting dissed because you don't take no diss where you're from. But in their mind, they're just trying to do a lighthearted clown. You know what I'm saying? It's just that, you know, you didn't grow up clowning like with people you don't know. So, you know what I mean? That's just what it is. Like I told you, remember, the nerds made the internet. So that's their world. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We the streets.
I'm still learning. I'm still learning because dudes be talking about how they gonna slap me and shit. I be like, yo, I'm gonna be on Fulton Street and motherfucking Clinton
Avenue.
Nah,
man, can't do that no more, dog. Cannot do that no more.
I still
dog.
Be like, fuck
no,
that.
No, God, I was the same way, but you just can't.
Yeah.
You just can't. You can't for a lot of reasons.
Yeah,
for a
yeah,
lot of
yeah.
reasons, you can't. You just gotta let it go.
Yeah.
You just gotta let that shit go and be like, all right, cool, bro. You like, you got that, man.
Yep.
Like, for real, because God forbid one day, you on Fulton Street and everything, and then this shit, you don't know where the fuck it's coming from. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you can't even, it's like, man, it's like arguing with ghosts.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm not
yeah,
gonna
yeah.
argue with no fucking ghosts.
Yeah.
Fuck that, because I used to get mad at these dudes, too.
Yeah, yeah,
I still do, though. If I'm in a bad mood.
Yeah, you be going off sometime. I'm about to say, cut it out. You still be having your moments.
No. I'll still rip on them, but a lot of my rips now are more, like, intelligent.
Yeah, yeah,
you know what
yeah.
I'm saying? So that they could think about themselves. You know what I'm saying? Like, really? Like, you have to make them think about themselves. You got to hit them where it hurts, like, you know, with some real shit. You know what I'm saying? You just can't be like, man, I'll fuck you up now.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
kind of make them look at themselves. You know
yeah,
what I'm
yeah, 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 yeah. All right, so, yo, bro.
These are some fucking weirdos now.
Facts.
Man, don't get that twisted.
Yo,
and these are some weird human beings.
But
now.
you know what you fucked know what me saying? Up though is some of the dudes that's considered to be real dudes are some of the most weirdest dudes.
It's man, listen.
It's some of the dudes
any
that
nigga, any nigga who gets on Instagram and does that bullshit to a nigga he don't know at all is a different nigga.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like I can't even. You know what I mean? Like I can't even, like, again, I didn't grow up like that in that world. So it's hard for me to, it's best for me to stay out that world. So, like, when they do that, that's your world, you got that.
Facts.
You know, so when I'm in them streets, you know what I'm saying? That's my world. So, you know what I'm saying? And so far, ain't nobody ever, to this day, I swear to God, nobody ever came to me and said anything about no Eminem shit, ever.
Facts.
Ever. All that internet shit, thousands. But as far as seeing me out here, ever.
Got you. So, yo, bro, I got the math. We'll chop it up. One day we're going to get together and do this face-to-face and just really, really build everything you got going
yeah.
on in the future. You know what I'm saying? We got a link for old time's sake. Yo, we need to do a Source documentary on that tour, man.
Man, that'd be dope.
Yeah, because we...
Shantae would be right in it.
Yes, big sis. Yeah, we got Shantae. We got OC. We got Buck Wild. Went on to be a legendary producer after that.
Yep. Biz Markie.
Biz
Markie, fucking legendary DJ.
Yeah, Lord Finesse. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Trackmasters went on to be legendary producer. So it was a lot of people who was a part of that that I think we could kind of do like a where are they now, what everybody's up to.
I like that.
Yeah.
Search.
Yep. Yeah, because Search. Remember, that was the first time. You wasn't on the tour bus with us, but that's the first time I heard Big L. Lord Finesse started playing Big L on the tour bus. Because remember, we was on the bus with Lord Finesse.
Wow.
Yeah. That's the first time I ever heard Big L. And I was like, who the fuck is that? He was like, yo, it was this kid named Big L from Harlem. You know what I'm saying? And that shit was crazy. Wow. But, you know, I could talk to you all day. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, a lot of that Source tour birthed a lot of things, man.
Remember when Red Hot Lover got in trouble, nigga, and we had to hold him down.
Yeah.
And North Carolina, we had to pull that thing out and back niggas down because he was talking to somebody's broad.
Yep.
And some crazy shit happened, and we had to whip out in North Carolina, and he'll tell you. He'll be like, man, y'all niggas saved my life.
Yo, it was crazy because they did shoot the car up. Them dudes did shoot the car up, though.
Yep.
I don't know who it was. Yep. Yeah, dudes did shoot the car up. You know, nah, that was fun, man. That was fun. How many and that was the first and only Source tour, right?
The first and only one, 1991. We never did it again.
Wow.
Well, we did the AN1 tour, but
gotcha.
It wasn't like a Source. That was AN1.
Got you.
Nope, that was the only one.
Yeah.
So the Source tour, I think, was the only one. I mean, I think there was another one, matter of fact. There might have been more, but as far as, like, get some artists and go on, I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah.
I think that's a Dave Mays question.
Yeah, because I remember towards the end of the tour, we ended up on y'all bus. He was like, yo, y'all little niggas staying with us. Yeah,
like,
he was like, he was like, we going to protect y'all. Y'all staying with us. But remember, I forgot who bought me them BB guns. I shot.
BB guns, and y'all niggas would shoot through the windows in the hotel.
Everybody
was like,
that.
These niggas really y'all little bastards.
Word.
That's why we used to fuck with y'all.
Yeah, facts.
We used to be like, yeah, man, we fuck with y'all niggas.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yo, I was straight fresh off the streets of Brooklyn. You know, I never been nowhere at that time. So I was like, holy shit, like I'm really on the road and eating different food. You know who else was there? Hot Dog was there too.
With the 18.
Yeah, and you know, I think Hot Dog was actually dating Mona at the time. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, Hot Dog was dating Mona Scott at the time.
No.
You didn't know that?
Get the fuck out of here.
I'm dead ass serious.
Hot Dog was dating Mona Scott?
Actually, yeah. Dead ass serious. Dead ass serious.
Oh, man.
I just That's fucked your crazy. Head up, right?
Wow.
He said Hot Dog was dating.
Another Jew. That's no, Word. I'm just saying, like, you would never know that. Like, that's crazy, yo.
Yeah, because remember, her shit always been Mona Me. She always worked around Trackmasters. Yeah, yes. Hot Dog was dating. Yeah, Hot Dog was dating Mona Scott. Yes, yes. This was back then. Yes, yes. So a lot has been revealed.
She never came on tour or nothing.
No, she didn't. Nah, she was back home. Yeah, she was back home. Yeah. Yeah.
Damn.
Crazy. So,
small world, bro.
Yeah, let me sign out, and I'm going to build with you later on. So, you, the number, I'm going to text you to make sure you got my direct math.
Hell yeah, and let me know when you drop it.
Yes. Oh, this shit is going up, it's a little late now. Tomorrow, definitely. I'm going to premiere it tomorrow.
All right,
peace. Thank you, bro.
All right, bro.
So, there you have it, That was Benzino, longtime friend, longtime big brother to me. Like I said, me and him go way back. And if sometimes you see me defending him and telling people how real he is, not only on some street level shit, but how he's always been real with me and helped me a lot in this industry, you know, that's why. Because I can't turn my back on people just because everybody else turned their back on them. I'm always going to defend what I know to be real. So a lot of things that people be saying about Benzino, that shit ain't right and exact. So that's what it is. I'm Doggy Diamonds. This is Doggy Diamonds No Filter. Thank y'all for listening. And you already know, I gotta go. I'm about to get the fuck out of here. Peace. All right. I gotta get the fuck out of here. Thank you for listening to Doggy Diamonds No Filter podcast. If you like this podcast, make sure you share this. Spread the word. Talk about it. Argue with me. I don't give a fuck what you do. Leave a comment. This is Doggy Diamonds. I'm out of here. See you on the next podcast. Peace. Doggy Diamonds did this. Doggy Diamonds did this.